All the way back in the book of Genesis. Look back there with me to chapter 13 of the book of Genesis for a few minutes here tonight. Genesis chapter 13. Starting there with verse number 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hiah, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also went with Abram. He had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, "Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. I'll make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered." Now, just to start off here tonight, just want to remind you all that whenever you leave the choice, when it comes to choices and decisions in your life, when you leave the decisions up to God, He's the one that can bless and can direct your pathway. Amen. Put it in the hands of the Lord and trust Him to direct your path. Amen. You know that before you were saved, before you were born again, according to Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you were under the control, under the domain of the God of this world. Those that are in sin are under His dominion, and they have been blind. Their minds have been blinded, Scripture says, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Many that are unsaved, many that are walking in a way that's away from God, they have the attitude, "Well, I want to go my own way. I want to do things the way that I want to do them." And all the while, they don't even consider the fact that whenever you go in a direction that is away from God, that you are not in control. You're just falling into the trap of the enemy. You're just falling into a pattern of sin. So if you think, "Well, I want to control my life and do things my own way and live my life in such a way as to satisfy my own interest or my own desires. I just want to live my life. The exact opposite is true, because you are in sin and you're under the control of the God of this world when you go in your own way. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. People that are living in sin, they don't have any liberty. They don't have any freedom. They don't have any real joy because they are bound in their sin. They have been taken captive by him at his will. The irony is that they think that they have freedom. They think that they're doing things that will please themselves and satisfy themselves. But the irony is that actually they're prisoners of the enemy, prisoners of Satan. That's one of the, you know, the clever tricks of the enemy, is to make people think they're controlling their own life, when in actuality he's controlling their life. The only way to really have real freedom and liberty is to yield yourself to Jesus. Amen. Surrender your life to the Lord. And when you surrender to the Lord, then there's freedom. Then there's joy. Then there's fulfillment in your life, because you're in step with the plan of God, with the will of God. You were created for that very purpose, to serve God, to please God. And so whenever you are born again and you're following in the plan of God, then you find real joy. Amen. Glory be to God. That's why I said earlier in the service that the greatest event that ever took place in your life was the day that you got saved. The day that you were born again and your life was changed and turned around and transformed. You've been changed not only for time but for eternity. As you serve the Lord, then your life has a purpose, and there's great joy from following the plan of God and the will of God. Amen. The Bible says that whenever someone, just one person, gets saved, that there is joy in the presence of angels. That's the way the scripture words it. Joy in the presence of angels. Just one sinner comes to the Lord, and all of heaven just erupts in joy and a celebration of the grace of God. Isn't it a wonderful thing to even think about? One person comes to the Lord, and there is joy in the presence of angels. Praise God. Praise the Lord. But I also want to remind you that when one person gets saved, that's not the way it is in hell. Satan is angry. Satan and all of hell is, and all the forces of evil and darkness, they have lost one person out of the grip of sin and out of the grip of hell and destruction. And let me tell you, Satan isn't too happy about it. When one person gets saved, he's not happy about it. So when you got saved, when you were converted, your life, even though it's the best life you can live this side of heaven, serving the Lord, and your life becomes somewhat of a battlefield. So don't think it's strange. Don't be surprised by the fact that the enemy puts a target on your back, and he's continually trying to drag you down. He's continually trying to stop you and hinder you and keep you from enjoying the blessings of serving the Lord. Because the devil's not happy about you being a Christian. He's not happy about your family being a Christian home. He is not happy that you're an employer or employee that honors the Lord and is faithful to God in your daily interactions, your daily business. It's the best life this side of heaven, serving the Lord, but it is not without challenges, because you have an adversary, and I have an adversary who is always going about like a lion to see whom he might be able to devour, to see who the vulnerable ones are, the ones that fall prey to temptation. So make no mistake about it, you have an adversary, the devil. And he hates you, and he hates you primarily because you are a child of God. You belong to the Lord. And you were created in the image of God, and you were born again, and you are a child of God. And so you have an enemy. You have an adversary, the enemy, who wants to destroy you. And one of the ways that he destroys us is through compromise. Compromise. He destroys us through compromise. The word compromise just means an agreement or a dispute that is settled by each side making concessions. Did you get that? It's an agreement or a dispute that is settled by each side making concessions. The only problem with that is you can't make a deal with the devil. You can't make a concession with the devil because he is your adversary. And whenever you sit down at the bargaining table with the enemy of your soul, he is not going to give in, or he's never going to stop until he can move you from your walk of faith and your life of commitment to Jesus, until he can get you to move into the areas that are not pleasing to the Lord. He wants to drag you out of the grace of God. He wants to drag you away from God, from that place of freedom in Jesus Christ. And he'll do that through a temptation to compromise. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. That verse is just very clear that we are not to be ignorant or unknowledgeable of the fact that Satan has a plan and devices, and a part of his plan in your life and in my life is he wants to destroy our faith. He wants to destroy our confidence in God. And he'll do it through whatever means that he possibly can, and he's got a plan. If that one don't work, he'll try something else. He'll try sickness. He'll try discouragement. He'll try all kinds of things against you to make you think that you need to cave in, that you need to give in to the enemy. But we're not ignorant of his devices, or we shouldn't be ignorant of his devices. Because what he really wants to do is to pull you away from your commitment to God, away from those vows that you made to the Lord when you became a born-again Christian. You know, compromise begins when you start looking and you start longing. You start looking and you start longing. That's what happened to Lot. He lifted up his eyes. And he looked at the well-watered plain. That wasn't the only decision that he could have made. He made a decision to go one direction. And Abraham took what was left and went in another direction. But how many knows there's more than two directions? You don't just have to go north or south. There's always east and west also. There are other directions that you can take. What's wonderful about Abram's decision was that when he decided, Lord, I'm just going to take what's left. I'm not going to make this decision. I'm going to let you make the decision for me. And the promise came to Abraham, or to Abram at this point, and said, I'm going to give to you that which is northward and southward and eastward and westward. I'm going to bless you and give to you all that of the land which thou seest. I'm going to give it to you and to your seed forever. He promised him, you left the choice up to me, and so now I'm going to give to you everything that's good for you. Everything I'm going to provide for you. Everything that you have need of. Compromise begins when we are looking and we are longing for those things that we do not need. We're longing for those things that are not pleasing to the Lord. That's where it begins, when you begin to set your eyes, your sights upon things that are of this world, things that do not please the Lord, things that are not consistent with the word of the Lord, and you begin to long for them and look to them, and it stirs up in you a longing and a desire for things. Advertisers know this. They know that if they can cause you to look and to see, that's why that they have an entire science on building display windows in stores and in shopping malls. It's exactly right. You can go to college and major in this merchandising and advertising, and one of the categories is setting up a display to grab the attention of the person that's just walking by. You ever wonder why when you go to a shopping mall and you walk through it and you leave, you have a bad feeling of discontentment? Of course, that may be just the man in me that's just saying, I don't like shopping malls. And I don't like to go through and see all of that stuff because it just makes me realize I don't have it and it costs too much and I really don't need it. It starts with looking. It starts with longing. It starts by setting your sights on those things. Now, how did Lot start off? The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should after live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. You see, when Lot first arrived down there in Sodom, he was vexed. His spirit was vexed with the filthiness of that place, with the filthy conversation. The word means behavior, actions, activities. And he was vexed by those things that he saw. That's the condition that he was in when he first got down to Sodom and Gomorrah. For that righteous man, dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So when he first got there, he was a righteous man who was vexed by the things that he saw. But he stayed there. Big mistake. He stayed there. Before long, it doesn't take very long at all until Lot is sitting in the gates. That means he's on the city council. He's becomes a prominent person, a leader in Sodom and Gomorrah. He caves in and compromises so much to the lifestyle and the ways of that city. When those perverted men come looking for those angels that had come to his house, he offers his own daughters to those perverted men. His own daughters. That's how far that Lot had fallen in just a short time. And it started with just a look. The well-watered plains. He set his sights and pitched his tent in that direction. You know, often it's not where you are, it's the direction that you are following. It's the way you're headed that concerns and should concern you. I just say, set your direction in a way that's pleasing to God. And don't allow yourself to get caught up in the affections and the desires of this world. Sometimes we compromise because we want the favor of men. Sometimes we compromise because we want people to think good of us. And so we are willing. And I understand it's never an easy thing to stand for a righteous cause in a wicked and a perverse generation. It's never an easy thing to do the right thing when everyone else is doing something that's wicked and evil. You might find yourself in a position of ridicule. I remember a few years ago when we were struggling with this liquor issue in our community, eventually lost that vote. But I'm telling you what now, I was on that committee, and I have never been so blasted in my life. Myself and a couple of other preachers, we got blasted on every place, on Facebook, on all these social media sites. We were the topic of conversation. These preachers, these holier-than-thou preachers that are taking a stand against this, and this would be good for our community. It's not always an easy thing to do what's right. Many times you pay a price for doing what's right. We compromise, though, when we're more concerned about pleasing men than we are pleasing God. Don't cave in to the ways of the world. Don't cave in to the thinking and the philosophy of this world. We live in an age right now where you just take a stand against abortion and you're going to find yourself in serious trouble with some people. You just take a stand against homosexuality and all different forms of perversion, and you're going to be considered a racist, a bigot, if you take a stand against things that are wicked and evil. But that doesn't mean that we are to at all cave in. We're to live our lives to please God, to honor the Lord, to walk in obedience to the word of the Lord, and be more concerned about pleasing Him than we are the favor of men. Amen. Amen. I understand that sometimes we are put in positions, and I'm not suggesting that we're to be bitter or angry or screaming at people that believe different than us. I'm just talking about taking a stand, doing what's right, standing for what's right in the face of a generation that is going in a completely different direction away from God. And the closer we get to the end of this age, the more and more difficult it's going to be for us to take a stand for what's right. But that's what God has called us to do as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand for what's right. Walk in a way that's pleasing to God, and don't allow the opinions of men or the favor of men to affect you. Amen. When we compromise, we often think that we'll be increased if we make a direction to go in the ways of the world. That some ways it'll profit us if we go in the ways of the world. I'm sure that when Lot saw the well-watered plains, when he saw all the fruitfulness of the direction that he was going to set, and to go to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, it seemed appealing. It seemed like a good thing, the right thing to do as far as, you know, a good financial decision, a good decision as far as, you know, his position in life. But the most important thing is that we please the Lord. Don't compromise thinking that it's going to increase you as far as this world's goods are concerned. It may cost you. It probably will cost you to stand for the truth. Don't compromise. It's one of the things that the enemy uses to drag you away from God, to drag you away from that place that God wants you to be. Sometimes we compromise because we want to avoid persecution. We want to avoid being mocked or made fun of. So we cave in just a little. But I want you to know, if you make one little small concession with the enemy, there's another step that he's going to want you to take. He's not going to be satisfied with that one little small concession. He wants to pull you. He wants to entice you. He wants to get you to cave in to the ways and the thinking and the philosophy of this world. Don't be a compromiser. Don't even sit down at the table with the enemy of your soul. Don't think that you can bargain with him. You can't do it, because he sits down with a plan to destroy you and to destroy your soul. So don't listen to the voice of the enemy. Let me tell you, compromise ruins good judgment. You saw in this story of Lot how far that he went. How far that he went. Even when he had the warning, get out of Sodom. Get out of Sodom. An angel literally had to take him by the hand and lead him out of the city, him and his family. They had to be led out of the city. Took him by the hand, led him out of the city, because Sodom had gotten in his heart and he lost good judgment. Let me tell you, I've seen a lot of parents lose good judgment and compromise with their kids and say, well, they're going to have to, you know, be accepted by the world, and so we're going to have to let them involve in some of the things of this world. And I've seen a lot of parents lose good judgment, and it ruins, compromise ruins good judgment, and it keeps you from doing the things that are pleasing to God. Don't cave in to the thinking of this world. Don't cave in to the promises of the enemy of your soul. Amen. Compromise causes us to step out of the grace of God, the divine protection that God has provided for every one of us. You make a step of compromise away from God. And you know, we have a tendency to just make excuses. Make excuses. We'll make excuses for our family, make excuses for our kids, make excuses for people that we love and we care about. But let me just encourage you here tonight. Stay true to the Word of God. Stay true to your God-given convictions, and don't cave in. And allow the Lord to use you in an age when so many are just throwing it in, giving up, turning toward the ways of this world, compromising and stepping out of the divine favor of God and away from the Lord, out of His divine protection, going out and partaking of the things of this world. I never would have believed that people who profess to know God would do some of the things that they're doing now and continue their profession of faith. Dancing, drinking, involving in all kinds of unbelievable activities. In some church groups and fellowships today, there is nothing wrong. Nothing. Absolutely nothing wrong. Everything is acceptable. Well, the only problem with that is that's not biblical. That's not God's word. So we have to stay true to the word of the Lord and follow in the way that He has called us to. Don't be a compromiser. Remember that compromise is one of the chief ways that the enemy uses to destroy your life, to destroy your soul. He's wanting you to cave in just a little, and then a little bit later, a little bit more, a little bit later, a little bit more, and before long, you have made one decision after another, and you never realized how far that you've gone. I'm sure that Lot never expected to get in the shape that he got in. Bad judgment. Offering his own daughters to those perverted men. What an unbelievable place that he's found himself in. Remember that Peter says he was just Lot. He was a righteous man who lived to please the Lord. But just one concession, then another, then another, then another. And before long, he's found himself totally compromised. His whole family totally compromised because he's dishonored the Lord and has caved in to the ways of Sodom and Gomorrah. Sitting in the gates as one of their leaders and just overlooking all of the wickedness. Let me tell you, God doesn't overlook the wickedness. God doesn't overlook all the things that are going on. And judgment fell on Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot barely escaped. His own wife fell under the judgment of God because her heart and her desires had been stolen away by Sodom and Gomorrah, and she had to turn around when they were warned not to, but she did. His own wife turned into a pillar of salt. His own wife fell under the judgment of God because of the compromises of Lot, that he had led his family into those compromises. Now, folks, I don't know exactly why that I'm going through all this here tonight, except to say that when you become a Christian, you belong to the Lord. You belong to God. Don't discredit the cause of Christ. Don't destroy your testimony by caving in to the thinking and the philosophy of this world. Don't do it. Stand true to God. Stand true to His Word. Even in the face of all of the things that are going on in our world today, which are unbelievable, the direction of our world. It's more than I can even comprehend. But God has called us to stand. Take a stand. Amen. Be a godly man. Be a godly woman. Be a godly father and mother. Live your life to please the Lord and walk in the precepts of His Word and do not compromise. Amen. Amen. Do not cave in. You see, the call of Christ today is for all of us to realize that as a Christian, we do not have this nature of sin. We have been transformed by the power of God. Our nature has been changed. We have a desire for the things of God. We have a desire to please the Lord. And as we follow in the ways of the Lord, we don't cave in. We lose when we cave in to the thinking and the ways of this world. We lose this wonderful blessing of God in our lives. Amen. Because we give in to the ways of this world. I know that it is a challenging time. It's challenging for our children, for our young people. Many times they feel like that they're all alone in their walk with God and their commitment to the Lord. That's why it's so important, parents, that we stand true. Grandparents, that we support them in their walk with God. And as a pastor, I just want to say, young people, I'm behind you. If you're wanting to serve God with your whole heart, I'm behind you. I want to encourage you. I want to help you to walk in a life of purity and holiness and separation from the ways of this world. Do not compromise. Stand true to the Lord and to His Word. Amen. It's a trick of the enemy. Don't listen to his voice. Don't listen. Amen. Lord, help us, I pray. Lord, as Lot made a decision, chose those well-watered plains, then he set his direction. Oh, God, help us, Lord, to be pursuing the things of God, to set our direction toward that which pleases you. Oh, God, I just pray, Lord, for every child, every young person, every family, Lord, that we would hold steady, Lord, and hold fast to those things that we have been taught, those things that we know to be true. And Lord, don't cave in to the thinking and the philosophy of this world. Because if we do, little by little, we're going to be in the clutches of the enemy. It won't take that long, and we're going to lose our credibility. We'll lose our testimony. We'll lose our ability to influence even our own family if we cave in to the ways of this world. God, help us. Oh, God, would you help us? Would you strengthen us, Lord? Fill us with your Spirit, Lord, and give us, I pray, Lord, a strong conviction, Lord, to please you instead of pleasing the ways of this world and the thinking of this world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.